Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. The mouthpiece, this is the queen.
Mouthpiece is queen. Good. Good. Thank you, Prana Govinda, for being our sentry in the mornings every day. Coming to the program, managing everything. Very nice service. We're fortunate to get to serve the Vaishnavas in that way. So this morning we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Leela, chapter 17, text number 137. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Text number 137. Ramananda Haite Purnananda Lila Rasa.
Ramananda Haite Purnananda Lila Rasa.
Brahmana Jnani Akashiya Kari Atma Vasa. Word for word, Brahmananda, the pleasure of self-realization, haite from Purnananda, complete pleasure, lila rasa, the mellows of the pastimes of the Lord. Brahma Jnani, those who are on the platform of Brahman understanding, akarsiya, attracting, kare, make, atmavasa, subordinate to Krishna. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The mellows of Lord Krishna's pastimes, which are full of bliss, attract the Jnani from the pleasure of Brahman realization and conquer him. Report. When one understands that he belongs not to the material world, but to the spiritual world, one is called liberated. Being situated in the spiritual world is certainly pleasurable, but for those who realize the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Lord Krishna enjoy transcendental bliss many times more than one who has simply realized the self. When one is situated on the platform of self-realization, he can certainly be easily attracted by Krishna and become a servant of the Lord. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Prasanasochi Nakansiti Savesh Bhuteshi Mad Bhaktyam Navite Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living being. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18:54. When one becomes spiritually realized, from Buddha, he becomes happy, prasanatma, for he is relieved from material conceptions. One who has attained this platform is not agitated by material action and reaction. He sees everyone on the platform of spirit, soul, pandita samadarshan. When one is completely realized, he can rise to the platform of pure devotional service, mad bhaktin labhite param. When one comes to the platform of bhakti, devotional service, he automatically realizes who Krishna is. Bhakti amam avijanati yavanyasya sankhapatara tato mantapato gyatva visite karanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Bhagavad Gita 1855. It is only on the bhakti platform that one can understand the Supreme Personality, Godhead Krishna, and his transcendental name, form, qualities, pastimes, and entourage. Being thus qualified, spiritually, visitate Tadanantaram, one is allowed to enter the spiritual kingdom of God and return home back to God. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Gyana Tamananda Shaganam Jana Shalakaya Chakshu Nulitam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha. So, yesterday, Tom Harpu gave class, many nice points in this class. The one point in particular stuck in my mind, maybe because I was thinking about having to give the class today. He said that we have to understand what the goal is. When we know what the goal is, then we can proceed nicely towards that goal. And so taking inspiration from that short point he made, I'd like to expand on that a bit today by talking about the goal of pure devotional service that's described by Srila Prabhupada in the verse in purport today. Actually, when you think about it, Srila Prabhupada is just a wonderful example in so many ways of how to spread Krishna consciousness, the pure devotee spreading Krishna consciousness. For instance, we all know clearly where we're going. And somebody asks any devotee anywhere in the world, even the newest devotee, you ask him, where are we going by this process of Krishna consciousness? Where are we going? Back home, back to Godhead. Back home, back to Godhead. It's clear. It's a wonderful construct to help us to focus on where we're going and what we're doing. And that stands in contrast to other paths of self-realization, even. In the verse, it talks about how one who's achieved bhakti is superior to one that just knows the self. Although knowing the self is certainly transcendental and pleasurable, as Prabhupada describes, it's not on the same level as the pleasure one gets from knowing the name, form, pastimes, and paraphernalia of Krishna. It's just not as relishable, it's not as clear. And so, those who teach impersonal Brahman as the ultimate spiritual reality, or those that succumb to the vicious understanding of voidism, cannot appreciate the goal of Krishna consciousness. They just can't. They have no reference to achieve that goal. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada in his Prana mantras, what do we say? Nirvishesha Sunyavadi. He's come, Srila Prabhupada's come specifically to save us from Nirvishesha and Sunyavadi. These things are actually so destructive to one's spiritual well-being. Impersonalism, Nirvishesha, Sunyavadi, voidism. Actually, these are the so-called goals of many, many spiritualists, many of those that take and practice severe austerities to achieve some kind of spiritual goal, to get rid of the sufferings of this material world, despite their hard endeavors, what is it? Vimuktamaninas? What is it? Yene Vavindaksha? Vimuktamaninas. Vayastavarad Avasuda Buddha. Aruya Krishna Padam 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 Udanti Aru Nagudu Yusmarangraya. They struggle very hard and they think that they're liberated. They think they're going to achieve Vimuktamaninas. They're thinking that, but they're cheated. Actually, they're cheated because they are missing out on the pure nectar of Krishna's name, form, pastimes, paraphernalia. So Prabhupada has come to save us from that. By making very clear what is the goal of Krishna consciousness. Back home, back to Godhead. So we often come in conflict with the impersonalists and talk about these things, but there's one point that is particularly damning to impersonalists and voidists. And Srila Prabhupada points that out in the first verse of the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam in the Purport. He points out just how dangerous and disruptive these teachings of impersonalism can be. The harm, the actual harm that they render to that soul seeking spiritual liberation, real spiritual liberation. So I'm going to read a quote from the purport to the first chapter, first canto, first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And actually throughout the class, what I hope to do is to fill out a picture of the spiritual world, the goal. The goal is, back home, back to God, I said, what does it look like there? What happens there? So we'll try to fill that picture out a little bit. Of course, we can't fill it out completely because what? Ananta Vrindavan. It's unlimited, so we can't. But we'll try to give some idea of what it's like there. But first, this purport, which Prabhupada writes in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purport, how this impersonal understanding is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. He quotes Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur specifically deals with the original and pure sex psychology, Adiras, devoid of all mundane inanity. The whole material creation is moving under this principle of sex life. In modern civilization, sex life is the focal point of all activities. Wherever one turns his face, he sees sex life prominent, predominant. Therefore, sex life is not unreal. Its reality is experienced in the spiritual world. The material sex life is but a perverted reflection of the original fact. The original fact is the absolute truth, and thus the absolute truth cannot be impersonal. It is not possible to be impersonal and contain pure sex life. Consequently, the impersonalist philosophers have given indirect impetus to the abominable mundane sex life because they have overstressed the impersonality of the ultimate truth. Just see. Prabhupada can see so clearly what's going on. Consequently, impersonal philosophers have given indirect impetus to the abominable mundane sex life because they have overstressed the impersonality of the ultimate truth. Consequently, man, without information of the actual spiritual form of sex, has accepted perverted material sex life as the all in all. There is a distinction between sex life in the diseased material condition and spiritual sex life. What a revelation, both at the danger, the real dangers that are there in impersonalism, denying one's personhood, and in encouraging abominable sex life. So, what is the spiritual world? What is this adi-rasa that's pure spiritual sex psychology devoid of all mundane inebriety? What are the relationships in the spiritual world? And so, as I said, I have different references that I'm going to just present before you. My goal is not to try to teach these things, but just to hear them, be exposed to them, and start, and thus start on a path for understanding. It's a, and not all just on adi-rasa. Actually, let me make a point about that. It's important to understand. Now, adi-rasa, this conjugal rasa, is not the only rasa or relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. Actually, there are how many main rasa exchange with the Supreme Lord?
Five.
Yes. Main rasas. But the point about adi-rasa is that, I think it'll come out in this section here that I wanted to read first, because it tells about why adi-rasa, or the conjugal rasa, is supreme. Why is worship of Radha and Krishna the supreme worship, when there are five rasas that devotees enjoy with Krishna spiritually? Why is the conjugal rasa the supreme? So, here's a reference that explains, that starts to explain this. As we enjoy a variety of relationships in our families and society, so does Krishna. But all his relationships are eternal, transcendental, and completely free from material contamination. Each of Krishna's devotees interact with him in one of five primary relationships in ascending order of intimacy. And this is the point. Ascending orders of intimacy. These five are neutrality, servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. Each includes the primary sentiments of the one before it, and thus adds its own flavors. Pure love of God reaches its summit in romantic exchanges with Krishna. So did you get that point here? I'm going to stress it here, because this is important. Because it explains why the conjugal rasa is the highest rasa. It says that each of the individual rasas include the primary sentiments of the one before it, and then adds its own flavor. So, neutrality. Servitude includes neutrality and service. Friendship includes neutrality, servitude, and friendship. Parental affection includes neutrality, servitude, and friendship. And parental affection. And conjugal includes all five. In other words, the conjugal rasa, the adi-rasa, is the most complete way to serve the Supreme Lord in loving relationships. Each of them grow like that. So it's important to understand that, how these rasas relate with each other, and why conjugal rasa, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Shamsundar worship is the highest. again, we're just giving a general overview here. There's much more that could be said on all these subjects and has been said on these subjects by our acharyas. But we just want to get a picture of the spiritual world so that we have something to focus on, back home, back to Godhead, not Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Where do they take us? Where does Nirvishesha Shunyavadi take us? Nowhere, literally. They take us nowhere, literally. So, just a little description of these five rasas. Of course, I know those Rasika Bhaktas that are out there saying, well, maybe there's only four rasas. We only accept four in our Sampradaya, not five. We don't accept neutrality as a rasa. It's described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, therefore, which is in here. So devotees in the mood of neutrality witness and support Krishna's pastimes by their presence as plants, animals, streams, and so on, as well as normally inanimate objects like houses, which are all fully conscious in Goloka. So in the spiritual world, everything and everybody is fully conscious, has personhood, even the houses, inanimate objects. Devotees in the mood of service run errands for Krishna, pack his lunch, wash his clothes, and perform other demonstrations of love for him as the moment indicates. Devotees in the parental mood see themselves as Krishna's provider and protector. Krishna behaves with him like a dependent child. His mother cuddles him, plans for his meal, carefully prepares his meals, and thinks only of his protection. His father sees that he has all the comforts of a normal home. Devotees in the conjugal or romantic mood offer service to Krishna as girlfriends, relating with him in the intimacy of lover and beloved. So that's an overview of the five, but Sanatana Goswami makes the point that every living entity, has a unique, eternal relationship with Krishna. Just imagine that. Because it includes you and I, and they're all living entities, have it. Krishna has a unique quality or characteristic of his personality. Again, this is characteristic of the spiritual world. We're talking about the spiritual world, but not this material world, which is full of impersonalism and voidism. But the spiritual world, everything is so personal that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a special quality, attractiveness, characteristic of his being that is just for reciprocating with us individually. That's the nature of the spiritual world. Prabhupada explains this in a purport in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, text number 8. He talks about what the goal is or can be for each and every one of us. He says, in the friendly Sakya Rasa, one can become a friend like Baladev, Sridhama, or Sudhama. In the Vatsalya Rasa, characterized by parental affection, one can become like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And in the Madhurya Rasa, characterized by conjugal love, one can become like Srimati Radharani or her lady friends, such as Dalita, and her serving maids, Manjaris, like Rupa and Rati. This is the essence of all instruction in the matter of devotional service. So, you have an eternal loving relationship with Krishna that you've forgotten. And by focusing on a goal back home, back to Godhead, and understanding what back to Godhead is, Goloka Vrindavan is, what happens there, we can also achieve that goal and become completely satisfied. Now, nothing could be further from the truth that the world is void or impersonal. And just to drill down on that point a bit, I'd like to describe some of the things that devotees who have this developed relationship with Krishna, what they do. So in the Shantarasa neutrality, we find different types of devotees, and how they exchange with the Lord. Neutrality, there are self-realized sages, or renunciates, and they exchange with the Lord in different ways. One way is by smelling the tulsi offered to the Lord. So what self-realized sages in Shantarasa became purified or perfected by smelling tulsi offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. Yes, four kumaras. They smelled the tulsi offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, and their bhakti awakened. So neutrality. Servitude. Actually, there's two types of servitude. There's reverential servitude and there's respectful servitude. And we find different types of devotees that exemplify these two different types. There are demigods who are reverential servitude, surrendered souls, personal ministers, and intimate servants, what you'd consider a regular servant. So there's those different types of servants in a reverential servitude. Respectful servitude has others, and they are subordinates, like the juniors to Krishna and his Leela. Or they're his sons. I always wondered, Krishna has so many sons, 10 sons from every one of the 16,108 queens in Dwarka. He has so many sons. So I was wondering, well, what kind of mood are they in with relation to Krishna? Are they like some kind of is there some parental relationship? Of course, that's there, but the main flavor is of servitude, as a servant of their father. There's the example of Pajumi and other sons that if Krishna didn't like something, they didn't like it. If Krishna liked something, they liked it. They were completely lined up with Krishna as his role of servitude. So that's Santa and Dasya, Sakya, friendship. Krishna has friends outside of Vrindavan and friends inside of Vrindavan. Who are some of his friends outside of Vrindavan? Main friend outside of Vrindavan? Uddhava and Arjuna. Uddhava and Arjuna. Those are like examples of friends outside of Krishna. Of course, inside of Krishna, inside of Vrindavan, there are four different types of friends Krishna has. He has elder, well-wishing friends, and they, all of the interactions between Krishna and his friends are described in the different leelas that we see, that we read in Krishna book and other sources. So some of the gopas take a little bit of a protective, well-wishing friendship with Krishna because they're a little older. They're not in the parental ras, but they're a little older than Krishna, so they have a little bit of that relationship with him. Who's like that?
Balaram.
Yes. So then there are the elder well-wishers, and there's slightly younger friends. Those are a little bit younger than him. And Krishna reciprocates with them accordingly. Then there are Priyasaka, or friends of the same age. Just see how intricate it is. A little older, there's a particular flavor to the relationship. A little younger, there's a different flavor to the relationship. But the main relationship of friendship is still predominant. Then there are friends the same age, and there are confidential friends. And the confidential friends, they're confidential because they do things like take messages from Krishna to the gopis. And so they're aware of Krishna's conjugal relationship with the gopis, and they assist in those things. And they're friends in that way with Krishna. And there are all varieties and grades of these things. As I said, each and every one of us have a unique relationship with Krishna. And it can be in any of these different rasas. So then there's the parental relationship. Main figures here are Yashoda and Nanda. So we see different leelas of Krishna in acts, like the Damodar Leela. We have Mother Yashoda chasing the Supreme Lord with a stick because she has a feeling for Krishna that she has to protect him and make sure he grows up to be a good boy. So she does that. And we have Nanda Maharaj asking Krishna when he comes home. At the evening, he asks Krishna, bring me my slippers. He treats his son like a servant. Bring me my slippers. But he's just experiencing that parental rasa with Krishna, that is the role of the son to serve the father, not anything offensive, putting him down or anything. No, just exchanging love. And then there's the Madhurya rasa, or conjugal love. Actually, the complete description of Madhurya Rasa, Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, is very difficult to understand. And Rupa Goswami also understood that, and therefore he didn't cover Madhurya Rasa in great of detail in Bhakti Rasamriti Sindhu, but wrote another book, Ujjvala Neelamani, where he describes that more detail, the Madhurya Rasa and the different relationships and exchanges that take place there. But he does describe a little bit, Prabhupada himself does describe a little bit about the gopis, and so I just wanted to read here about different types of gopis, again, not the deities, but just different types. But we've heard this left-wing and right-wing gopi description. So Prabhupada says that a gopi who is always eager to be jealously angered, who is very enthusiastic for that position, who immediately becomes angry when defeated, who is never under the control of a hero, and who always opposes him, is called a Vama, or left-wing gopi. Sri Rupa Goswami describes the right-wing gopis in this way. A gopi who cannot tolerate womanly anger, who speaks suitable words to the hero, and who is satisfied by his sweet words, is called a dakshina, or right-wing gopi. So, two camps are there, it's described by acharyas in the spiritual world, two camps, the left-wing gopis and the right-wing gopis. So who's who? And there's two main gopis, Radharani and Chandrabhava. So who's who here? Who's right-wing and who's left-wing?
Radharani is
Vama. Radharani is Vama, left-wing gopi. And Chandrabhava is right-wing gopi. So Prabhupada describes like this. And I read a quote before about that if one has some desire, one can become like Radharani or her lady friends, such as Lita. And one could also be, one aspire to be one of the serving maids or manjaris, like Rupa Bharati Manjari. So this idea of manjaris. Manjaris are very young girls that are like maidservants of Radharani. They're maidservants. And they're always making tasteful arrangements for Radharani to enjoy with Krishna. So where do we find those words, tasteful arrangement, making tasteful arrangements? Because that's what the manjaris do, they make tasteful arrangements. Yukta, apekshana. Where do we come across that daily in our activities?
Worshipping the bees.
Yes. But described in the Guru Vastaka, isn't it? Vikunja yuno ratikela siddhaya yayayarabhir yuktir apachaniya tatati daksha apivalabhasya vandegaro suchadana. Yukti, arrangements, apachanya sanya, desirable. The spiritual master is very dear because he is expert in assisting the gopis who at different times make different tasteful arrangements for the perfection of Radha and Krishna's tangible loving affairs within the groves of Vrindavan. So the manjaris help make these tasteful arrangements. And as I said, it's a very difficult subject matter to understand beyond certainly my understanding. That it's described more fully by Rupa Goswami and Ujjivaninamana. But there are, in other words, the point is there are different types of gopis. And they all interact with Krishna in this conjugal rasa, which is the Adi rasa that Prabhupada was speaking about in the purport, 1.1.1 Srimad Bhagavatam. So this gives some idea of how personally Krishna interacts with all the devotees in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan. And so that's our goal. Our goal is to become part of Radha Krishna's dancing party, and Prabhupada said that. Right? We become part of Radha Krishna's dancing party. That's the goal we can aspire for, is somehow or another enter into Goloka Vrindavan and exchange in loving affairs with Krishna in these five primary rasas. So that's what I wanted to present. Questions, comments?
Any question, comments, you can type it on the chat room or you can text me at 352-221-004. I have a question.
Please.
When Prabhupada said, I think Dr. Prabhu loves to mention that. Prabhupada said, I have come to teach you how to dance so you can join in Krishna's love stream. What is that? what am I supposed to understand? As simple as like, okay, we're going to enjoy the mercy.
Well, there's many things you could understand from that. One, that we have the ability to enter there. We have the adhikara. We can develop the adhikara, or the ability, the qualification to enter there. And if we do, we'll be dancing. Dancing is usually done when a person is joyful, and especially ecstatic dancing following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's almost involuntary, the dancing that comes from the joy of the heart. So that's what life is meant to be. And so somehow or another we have to orient our life to understanding and practicing how to qualify ourselves to dance eternally with Krishna and therefore be joyful.
Thank you.
You're talking about different rasas. We also understand that, although like you're saying, Nanda Maharaj was asking Krishna to bring the slippers, so he was asking him to do some service. But we also understand that everybody feels they see themselves as servant of Krishna. So although Krishna is acting as a servant, so to speak, you know, but all of them, whether it's in Madhurya Rasa, you know, or Vatsalya, or any rasa, they always feel that they are the servants of Krishna. I guess it's difficult to understand the
That's the point I made in the beginning about each rasa containing the essence of the previous one. So servitude, dasya, includes neutrality. Shakti, friendship, includes neutrality, servitude, and friendship. Each one builds like that. And so, yes, anyone in a rasa that's, quote, higher than the previous rasa, it's not really higher, but it'll include that. And so, yeah, naturally they feel a servant. That's part of how it culminates in conjugal rasa being the sonam bonam, the highest. Does that make sense?
Is it true that most devotees are headed for a position in Madhurya Rasa as opposed to the lower rasas?
I said I'm not going to discuss that. Just telling what's there. So I'm not discussing that. Sorry.
Okay, this is from Mother Agatmika. Does one progress from neutrality upward in the rasas, or are they completely satisfied in a particular rasa? Even neutrality.
Well, there are devotees situated in all these different rasas. And it's not like there's a lot of dissatisfaction in the spiritual world. So, as far as the technicalities and everything, that's beyond the scope of what we're presenting here today. But I mean, it is the fact that there are devotees in these different rasas, eternal rasas of Krishna in the spiritual world. Whether they progress to another, that's for another occasion, another speaker, more realizing.
I remember one discussion, Prabhupada asked Samal Krishna Maharaj, where is Virabhadra? It's in the Vedas, somebody can tell you. And Samal Krishna Maharaj says, oh, he's outside, he's pretending like he's Arjuna in the war field. Prabhupada said, oh, that's Mayavati. We are not becoming someone.
He can assist Arjuna in the battlefield. That's a good. We should do that. We should. So Prabhupada encouraged us, but also he put us in alignment. We don't become a particular person. Like, there is a group. I don't want, like to mention, but there is a group in Vrindavan. They think they want to become like this. This was the biggest problem Bhaktisiddhanta could face. In his own lecture, there was one old elderly gentleman who dressed as a woman, and that's what they created division between this group and that group. So we are not imitated, but at the same time, we see that Prabhupada did encourage in that past time. There are a few other also like this, that Mukunda Mala Sutram, that one book also Prabhupada translated part of it. So Maharaj means. Maharaj Kulasekhar was so much absorbed in Ram Lila that he literally took the entire armies, which is no connection to the mundane material view that million years back Ram Lila took place and 3,000 years back this pastime took place. There's no connection materially. But spiritually we see that when he took all these thousands of soldiers in the ocean, South India, then as he was approaching up to the neck, Lord Ram, Lakshman and Sita appeared. And he says, she is a rescue, now go back and celebrate that Ravan is killed. You know? So I am fascinated that actually this is being, is nothing harm, in other words, if we imagine sometimes. Even as Ridhananda Maharaj mentioned one time with me, we were discussing, Maharaj said, Prabhupada says we can think that how to serve in a particular manner. No, no harm. Prabhupada encourages us.
Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Great class, Guru.
Oh, really? What's that?